Welcome to the Microgreens World Podcast. Welcome to this week's Digest Podcast. Today, we answer the question that hundreds of community members have asked us. What does it take to start a microgreens business?
That's right.
We give you the basics from the DIY $500 startup to the $10,000 deep pocket investment. So sit back and get ready to take notes.
It's a really interesting area.
What's really fascinating about diving into this topic is understanding how accessible starting your own food production can be, often with a surprisingly modest initial outlay, and, you know, relatively fast turnaround.
Absolutely. And what the information we've gathered really underscores is that the barrier to entry in the microgreens market can be, well, quite low.
Right.
We're looking at potential starting costs that genuinely democratize entrepreneurship in this sector. It can range from just a few hundred dollars up to several thousand, depending on how ambitious you want to be.
Okay, let's really get into that ground level then. What does a microgreens operation look like if you're aiming for that, say, $520,000 startup cost? What are the absolute bare essentials?
Yeah, the real basics. At this initial stage, it's all about functionality over finesse, really. The core infrastructure needs to be lean, resourceful.
Okay.
So for shelving, you're thinking repurposed materials or simple DIY solutions. We saw suggestions like using cinder blocks and wooden planks. Super cost effective.
Makes sense. Cheap and cheerful.
Exactly. But critically, you will need to invest in maybe 3 to 4 LED grow lights.
Ah, LEDs specifically.
Yeah, they're preferable to like the older traditional options because they use less energy, produce less heat, which is obviously better for your yield and, well, your electricity bill.
Good point.
Then you'll want about 10 to 20 basic growing trays. That lets you establish a kind of staggered planting and harvesting schedule.
Right, so you always have something coming up.
Precisely. For your growing medium, budget-friendly options like soil or coco coir are pretty much the primary choices.
Coco coir, what exactly is that again?
No, it's a medium made from coconut husks. It's known for having really good drainage and aeration, which is, you know, beneficial for root health.
Interesting, okay.
And, of course, seeds. The recommendation is definitely to start with around 10 to 15 high-yield varieties. Maximize your initial success.
High yield? Like what?
Think staples like sunflower. They're quite popular. Quick-growing pea shoots and radishes, too. They also offer a fast harvest.
Right. Focusing on those quicker-growing popular varieties makes sense for, like, early returns and getting some cash flow.
Totally.
Now, what about getting these little greens actually to the customers when you're just starting out on that tight budget?
Yeah, packaging at this level, the key is simple and economical. Options include just basic plastic clamshell containers. They can cost around $20 to $30 per 100, maybe.
Okay.
Or if you can stretch the budget just a little, some basic compostable containers are becoming more available. You could even consider, you know, simple zip-top bags with your own custom-printed labels.
DIY labels, yeah.
And finally, don't overlook the necessary admin steps. You'll need to factor in the costs of local business registration, typically a business license, maybe a tax ID, and depending on your local regulations, potentially some basic food handling permits. Those costs vary a lot by location, of course.
So with these fundamental pieces, someone could realistically begin growing in, what, a spare room, a basement, maybe a garage?
Exactly. That really highlights the low barrier to entry we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
This initial setup lets you basically get your hands dirty, experiment a bit with different growing techniques, understand the sort of nuances of microgreen cultivation.
Learn as you go.
Right. And perhaps most importantly, gauge the local market demand without committing to a huge financial risk up front. Test the waters.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Now, let's imagine those initial steps go well, things are looking promising, and someone wants to elevate their operation, make it more consistent, more professional. What does that $2,000 to $5,000 mid-range investment typically involve?
Okay, yeah, stepping it up. This is where you start to see a more robust and efficient setup. Instead of just relying on DIY shelving, you'd likely invest in sturdy metal shelving units.
Right, more professional looking.
And adjustable shelving is particularly useful for optimizing the vertical space you have. For lighting, you'd probably upgrade to higher quality LED grow lights.
Better quality. How so?
Well, they often offer more control over the light spectrum, which you can tailor to different growth stages. Plus, they tend to be even more energy efficient in the long run, pays off over time.
Gotcha.
And climate control becomes a more active consideration at this stage. You'd likely add some basic oscillating fans. They're inexpensive, like 20, 50 each maybe, but crucial for preventing mold growth and strengthening the plant stems.
The airflow.
Yeah, airflow is key. And maybe a small dehumidifier, perhaps $150, $200, just to help maintain that optimal humidity range around 50, 60%. That's vital for healthy growth and, again, preventing disease.
So at this mid-range level, you're not just providing light and space, you're actively managing the growing environment more closely.
Exactly, you're fine-tuning things.
What are the actual microgreens, the variety, the quality?
Well, with a slightly larger budget for seeds, you can definitely diversify your inventory. This lets you cater to a broader range of customer tastes and potentially offer more nutrient-dense or specialty microgreens.
Like what kind of things?
Think about including options like spicy radish, which offers a totally different flavor profile, or earthy sunflower, maybe some more delicate and visually appealing options like amaranth, things chefs might like.
Okay, yeah. And packaging. Still zip-top bags.
Probably not. Packaging usually sees a significant upgrade here too. Investing in professional-looking, maybe branded compostable containers that not only enhances your product's presentation, but also aligns with that growing consumer preference for sustainable packaging.
Right. Eco-friendly is a big selling point now.
Definitely. And crucially, this budget usually allows for establishing a functional website. That's pretty essential these days for building an online presence, maybe facilitating some sales, and just providing info to potential customers.
A professional website really adds that layer of legitimacy, doesn't it? And expands your reach beyond just, say, a farmer's market.
Absolutely. It shows you're serious.
What other investments are typical in this mid-range scenario, besides the core growing stuff and the website?
You can also allocate some funds to create basic but professional marketing materials. Think business cards for networking, attractive product labels that really highlight your brand, maybe some informational brochures about the benefits of microgreens, and definitely building a more strategic presence on social media. Platforms like Instagram are fantastic for visually showcasing the vibrant colors and textures of your greens, maybe posting recipes, customer testimonials, that kind of thing.
Okay, so we've gone from a very basic, almost hobbyist setup to something much more refined and market ready. Now, what does it take for someone to really scale up, to build a serious commercial operation with that, say, $5,000 to $10,000 investment?
Right, the next big leap. At this commercial level, the focus shifts squarely onto maximizing production volume and operational efficiency.
Volume and efficiency, okay.
You'll need to invest in multiple heavy-duty commercial-grade growing racks. These are typically multi-tiered. You know, 4 to 6 tiers are common to really make the most of your vertical space. And they're often designed to support integrated irrigation systems.
Ah, watering systems built in.
Yeah, saves a lot of labor when you scale up. And a comprehensive climate control system becomes pretty much indispensable.
More than just fans and a small dehumidifier.
Oh, yeah. We're talking precise temperature regulation, ideally maintaining a range of maybe 65, 75 degrees Fahrenheit, consistent humidity control within that 40, 60% sweet spot, and strategic airflow management to ensure uniform growth and prevent any like microclimates that could lead to issues like mold. Full control.
So you're moving from basic environmental adjustments to a fully optimized growing environment really designed for consistent, large-scale output.
Exactly. It's about predictability and quality at scale.
What about the infrastructure for handling all that volume, harvesting, packing?
You'll definitely need to invest in professional packaging equipment, something to efficiently package larger quantities while ensuring product freshness and maintaining your brand consistency across the board.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Need to keep up.
And depending on your distribution strategy, who you're selling to, how far away you'll need to seriously consider a dedicated delivery vehicle.
Okay.
This could range from just a fuel-efficient car for local restaurant drops, maybe, to a refrigerated van if you're serving a wider area, or need to maintain specific temperature controls during transport, especially in warmer climates.
Refrigerated. Wow. Okay.
And a significant portion of this bigger budget, maybe 10-15%, should really be dedicated to marketing and advertising efforts, specifically aimed at attracting those larger restaurant and retail clients. You need to get the word out.
Right, going after bigger accounts.
Yeah. And absolutely crucial at this stage are things like comprehensive insurance coverage to protect your business.
Oh, yeah, good point. Liability.
and ensuring you have all the necessary operating licenses and permits to comply with regulations at a commercial scale. This can get more complex as you grow.
Those legal and logistical considerations definitely become paramount as you scale up. Less wiggle room. And I imagine the online presence needs to be even more sophisticated at this level, too.
Absolutely. Commercial clients, like chefs or grocery buyers, they'll expect a fully professional website, maybe with features like online ordering systems, detailed product catalogs with pricing tiers, potentially even integration with their own procurement systems.
Streamlining the buying process for
exactly.
them.
Exactly. And search engine optimization, SEO, ensuring your website is easily found by potential customers searching online, that becomes a key element, too. You want to show up when someone searches microgreen supplier near me.
Right.
And, you know, the information we looked at even suggests the potential for pretty substantial returns at this scale, with projections of around, say, $20 revenue per tray.
Per tray. Wow.
Yeah. And potentially impressive profit margins, possibly as high as 90% if you're operating at full capacity and really managing those costs efficiently.
90% margin sounds incredible, but it assumes everything is running perfectly, I guess.
It does. It's an optimal scenario. Requires tight management.
Those potential returns sound great, but it's always wise to remember that there can be unforeseen expenses when starting any business. What are some of those maybe hidden costs that someone getting into microgreens might not immediately think about?
That's a really important point to bring up. Beyond the tangible stuff like equipment and supplies, there's a significant time investment in what you could call the learning curve.
The time cost.
Yeah, mastering the art and science of growing these things consistently, developing efficient workflows for planting, harvesting, packaging, and building strong, reliable relationships with your customers. That all takes time and, frankly, effort.
Trial and error, probably.
Lots of it initially. You might encounter unexpected challenges with specific varieties being finicky, or environmental fluctuations messing things up, or even just logistical hurdles in your local market you didn't anticipate.
Right.
The hours you spend just researching, experimenting, tweaking your system, refining your processes, that represents a real investment that isn't always factored into those initial dollar figure estimates.
Yeah, your own sweat equity.
Exactly. While the seeds might germinate quickly, truly cultivating your expertise and building a thriving, stable business that can easily take several months of dedicated, focused effort.
Right. It's not just about the physical setup. It's really about acquiring the knowledge and the skills to run it effectively day to day.
Precisely.
What about the ongoing operational costs once the business is actually established and running?
Yeah, the initial investment is just the starting point, isn't it? You'll have recurring operational costs to manage constantly. Seeds will likely be one of your highest ongoing expenses because you need a consistent supply for continuous production.
Seed buying seeds, yeah.
You'll also need to budget regularly for your growing medium, whether it's soil or core. Then there's the electricity to power your grow lights, fans, dehumidifiers, maybe heaters.
The utility bills.
Yep. The water for irrigation, packaging materials, which can actually become a pretty significant expense as your volume increases.
Those clamshells add up.
They really do. Delivery costs if you're handling distribution yourself, gas, vehicle maintenance, ongoing marketing efforts to retain current customers and attract new ones, and, of course, the periodic renewal of your business licenses and permits. Those aren't one-time fees.
So it's a continuous cycle of managing both the plants and the spreadsheet, essentially.
Pretty much, yeah. Growing and business ops running in parallel.
Okay, so for someone listening to all this who might be intrigued by the idea, maybe thinking, hey, I could do this, how do they gauge whether this type of venture is actually a good fit for them personally?
That's a great question. I mean, one of the really attractive aspects of microgreens is that relatively quick cash flow potential.
Right, the fast turnaround.
Yeah, with harvest cycles typically ranging from just 7 to 14 days, you can often start seeing returns within a couple of weeks of planting. That's pretty fast for any kind of agriculture.
Definitely.
And this also gives you valuable flexibility. You can adapt your growing strategy fairly quickly based on what's actually selling well in your local market. If kale isn't moving, switch to more radish, you know?
Oh, adjust on the fly.
Right. However, sustained success, that really seems to come down to having a genuine passion for what you're doing. You need to be willing to stay informed about evolving market trends, what chefs are looking for, what consumers want.
Stay current.
Actively cultivate strong relationships with your local customer base, whether that's individual shoppers at a market, local chefs, or maybe retail buyers. And increasingly, adopting sustainable growing practices is becoming a really significant differentiator and, frankly, a value proposition for many customers.
People care about that now.
They really do.
So it's clearly not just a passive investment where you set it up and forget it. It requires real dedication and engagement with the whole process and the market.
Absolutely. It's hands-on.
What are some of the personal qualities then that might suggest someone would actually thrive and enjoy this kind of business?
Well, if you find genuine satisfaction in nurturing plants and just observing their growth day to day, if you possess a certain level of patience for the detailed, sometimes repetitive tasks involved in planting tiny seeds, watering carefully, harvesting delicately, detail-oriented.
And if you're genuinely motivated by the idea of providing fresh, really nutritious food to your community, then you might find this incredibly rewarding.
Connects to a purpose.
But the daily reality often involves early mornings to tend to your crops, consistent attention to maintaining that optimal growing environment, checking humidity, temperature, airflow, and proactive effort in building and maintaining those relationships with your customers. It's ongoing.
Sounds like it requires consistency. Very much so. The source material actually put it quite well, I thought. It said something like, "If the thought of regularly monitoring the progress of tiny seedlings actually excites you more than it exhausts you, then you might just have found your niche, your calling, even."
That's a fantastic way to frame it, a good self-test.
Ah!
Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive into starting a microgreens business, what's the key message, the main takeaway you want listeners to hold on to?
I think the central takeaway is that launching a microgreens business presents a surprisingly accessible pathway into the world of agricultural entrepreneurship.
Accessible is the key word.
The barriers to entry, thinking about initial investment and just the space requirements, they're relatively low compared to most traditional farming. You're not necessarily looking at buying acres of land. You can genuinely start in a modest indoor
A
space.
spare room, like we said.
Exactly. And it offers the potential for a sustainable business model that really aligns with these growing consumer interests in healthy eating, culinary innovation, and environmentally conscious practices.
Ticks a lot of boxes for modern consumers.
It does. And you don't necessarily need a background in traditional agriculture or extensive land ownership. What seems most important is determination, a real willingness to learn the craft, because it is a craft and a proactive approach to building your business.
The drive to make it work.
And those rapid growth cycles we mentioned, they provide a really quick feedback loop, helping you determine pretty fast if this is the right venture for you before you've sunk years into it.
That's a good point. You find out quickly if you like it and if it works.
You get that validation or that signal to pivot much faster.
So for anyone in our audience who has maybe ever considered getting involved in the food production industry, whether just as a side hustle for some extra income, or maybe even dreaming of a full career transition, exploring microgreens could really be that practical and surprisingly attainable first step, especially with those remarkably low initial hurdles we talked about at the start.
It really could be a practical entry point.
Well, thanks for shedding so much light on this fascinating topic. Lots to think about there.
My pleasure. It's an exciting little industry.